Hello and welcome to LedgerCast. My name is Brian Krogsgaard. I'm here as usual with Josh Olswich. Hey, Josh.
Brian, our special After Dark edition.
It is an After Dark edition. If you're on the video version of this, I'm truly in the dark. We're recording 11:30 my time.
Look, 12. Brian, time is a social construct, okay?
In your world, it certainly is. It's late. We're doing a nighttime episode. I had a lot going on today anyway, so your sleep schedule fit fine with me. And we also got to stay up to experience $350 Ethereum finally tapping, which was my target over these past few weeks. So I find that exciting. I don't know about you, Josh, but I certainly do. Bitcoin's tapping around up here too, 11.4, just below a key weekly level. What were you going to say there?
I was going to say, it's funny because when there's no volatility, your sleep schedule is perfect. Like if you're a crypto trader, but as soon as there's volatility and it's like we're getting moves at London Open and stuff, even though for the most part, my stuff is like the least hands-on of all trading possible. Like,
yeah,
I'm not like trading high leverage or anything. So like, do I need to be awake? No, I don't. But it's just fun to watch it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You pay more attention when there's volatility for sure.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It starts the vicious cycle of, you know, messing with your sleep schedule, and then it's just downhill from there.
Yeah. I certainly pay close attention to trending markets, and you know, I'm not trying to trade in and out so frequently, but you know, you do look for like if something's going to have some kind of blow off top, maybe you'll sell into it a little bit, or if there's a particularly nice wick down, maybe you'll try to snatch it up. And if you're not doing that with like regular limit orders systematically, like I know you tend to do, then watching the charts part of the game.
Well, the funny part is you tend to make more money when you do nothing. So if you're in a trade and you do nothing, you're more likely to make more money than to actually like mess around and close it.
Yeah.
Cause like I had a margin ETH position. I closed at 315. Obviously we're at 350 now. So it's like, not only should I have not closed it, but I should have reopened.
That's what I did. And I think that's why I'm starting to pay even more close attention, is because we're into my extended targets now, you know? So I'm like, I've been trying to patiently ride this thing. I took very little off above 300, even though I was in from 240, and trying to milk it, you know, trying to let it ride, not get too hasty. But we're definitely a little long in the tooth in my mind. And on top of that, with Bitcoin, there just is a lot of sellers here, or at least there's one big one on Bitfinex around 11.5. And I'm curious, like, is someone just going to blast up and chew that and then take the whole market, drag it up with it? Or is it going to cause a major rejection? I don't know. Like, I'm still bullish, but I'm also a little more cautious here, certainly to be on margin.
Well, the weird thing about Bitfinex is their volumes are way down historically from what they used to be. So it's odd that they still matter as much as they do. But when any exchange has a 1,000 coin wall at 11.5, it's not 1,000 coins, but it's 1,000 coins to 11.5 from here at 11.4.
Yeah, that's after we ate some. I mean, it really started around maybe 11.350, something like that. And this is all a key weekly level that we wicked down from, you know, last year when we were here. So it's an important kind of defensive position for someone that doesn't really want to see the price go higher. So in itself, that's kind of bullish, but at the same time, we could certainly get rejection off of that and move $500 down or whatever before we give it another test, or we could blast through it and then it's like $1,000 move up potentially. So
yeah, usually walls are magnets for price.
Yeah,
as odd as that might be intuitively, but looking at the daily, the pattern looks like an ascending triangle, like hands down, obvious, like,
yeah,
no question, right? So, you gotta be. You can't.
You mean the little ascending triangle.
Yeah, this little. We keep getting even ETH. When I saw it closed at 315, it wasn't finished drawing a high and tight flag.
Yeah,
but it that's what it did. So did ADA. So did a lot of these other coins that continue to break out. And to see VTC draw this high and tight flag, it's an ascending triangle, whatever. But
yeah.
The concept is the same.
It's consolidation right under major resistance and looks ripe for bullish continuation.
Yeah. So, you know, we have a wall, sure, and we can watch it, but the expectation is that this keeps going. And it's pretty clear that that wall isn't moving. It's been there since July 27th. So, like, it's going to get filled or it's not going to get filled, but it's not going anywhere, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I tend to think it'll take a little time, so
yeah, that's fine. And the market, I think, gets antsy when they see these massive walls, because people on every exchange are like, why isn't price moving, right? It's like the derivatives people start looking around, the people on the spot exchanges start looking around, they're like, what's going on? And then everybody realizes, oh, it's this one exchange where there's this massive wall, and it's X millions of dollars that we need to bust through here on an exchange that doesn't really have that much volume right now. You know, that's the other thing that's part of this, is if Bitfinex had more volume, 1,000 coins isn't that big of a deal.
Yeah, you're talking about, what, $12 million?
Yeah. It's creeping, though.
Like watching it while we're talking. I'm like, I don't know what's happening. Don't know if we're going to get more action here or not. I mean, I feel like we could. Like, this is one of those ones where something crazy could happen in the length of this phone call. You know, we bust through it and see a several hundred dollar move.
The other weird part is the time of day. It's close to 12:30 a.m. EST, which isn't really any
but
Friday.
It's a weekend. Potential weekend move. It's
post rollover move too.
Yeah,
massive options rollover, massive futures rollover.
When is the big options rollover? Let's check out our friends over at SKU. Let's see what they got going on.
I think it happened, right? Didn't it happen?
Oh, that was the one on the 31st.
It should have.
I think that, and I think that marked the low as well. Like the low of the day. I think Ethereum went down to like maybe 320, 325 around the time of that rollover.
I was just glad we didn't wait until 2 days before rollover to move, because historically that's not bullish. So it's good that we moved way before the rollover dates. Is it August 7th? Is it the 112 BTC and derivative I'm seeing? I don't know how to read options volumes. Oh, no, here it is. Options expiry July 31st. Yeah, it's today.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Well, it was this morning, like 2 a.m. for Americans, like right when July 31st happens. The fact by Strike is centered around 11K as well.
Where is that at? This year? Oh, right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, options are still a mystery to me. I feel like I should have a failure as a trader that I don't know more about options, but just so much stuff that you don't learn just trading spot, you know, or futures even.
Yeah, it's just it's just a different market, but
yeah.
We are seeing it playing out in price, though. I've noticed it in the price action, how it steers towards those option expiry days.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it's like a massive volatility bullseye for everybody paying attention. The same thing with futures. The dates are the same.
Yeah, for sure. What are your thoughts in terms of Bitcoin relative to Ethereum?
So I did a banger of a video a few hours ago. Everybody should check that out.
Because, I mean, it had a big retrace, but it's already working its way back up.
A lot of the alt pairs actually look not great.
Like when I look at this ETH-BTC on a weekly, it's just this doji right on resistance. And on the daily, it looks like a secondary test to that resistance level. But it looks basically like a absolutely perfect retest of the prior high was the bottom, like the local bottom. And we've just had three big days off of it since then.
So I think the 6 to 12 month target is 05. I just don't think we bust to 05 without consolidating at 035 first. Mm. So at this point, you know, we talked about this for weeks now, but at this point, the risk reward is kind of faded for that trade, I think, short term for the ETH BTC trade.
Yeah.
Even though the 2 day EMAs just crossed bullish like today, yesterday.
Yeah. I feel like those EMA crossovers are ripe for retests of that crossing point too, though.
Yeah, so it depends. Depends on your size, leverage, yada, yada, yada. But
yeah,
I'd want to get back in. Like, I want along this at 027, 028, something like that, 025.
Yeah, I know you can't see my screen, but the dip of the line chart there on yours, like, that could be your bottom of some kind of triangle formation. Unless we just shoot higher, but I feel like we could have some kind of consolidation triangle from here.
Yeah, if we get another...
Like up, yeah, right there in that pennant.
Another consolidation, like between, ETH, yeah, like ADA.
Between 0.028 and 0.031.
Yeah, definitely possible, for sure. That's the other thing with these markup phases. After the direction's decided, you get shorter and shorter accumulation periods. So ADA is a great example of that right now, where it keeps going, but the time to make the decision... as far as your entry is concerned, is shorter and shorter.
Yeah. Did ADA have its hard fork?
They had their hard fork. Wrote an article about it. BNC this week. Check that out. I wasn't able to get a lot of details about the Shelly Genesis pools, which is what's going on with that right now. Go ahead.
Is that sell the news type of event? Chart looks like it. It's only down a couple percent, but it looks weak all of a sudden.
I was talking about this August 3rd date because on the roadmap, that's when the incentivized testnet rewards get unlocked. So there's going to be a percentage of supply that's been accruing for people in the proof of stake testnet. I think this is going to be a volatile period. Mm. You can't assume that price is going to keep going up when a bunch of supply gets unlocked, right? Like, right. I don't know, it's just common sense to me, but
the easy gains on ADA might be over.
Right. Not only is it up
3x relative to BTC from lows.
Right. Like, plus you're getting all this windfall money, you know? So
yeah,
to me, I think it needs to chill out a little bit more before it does anything. Especially, you know, like, why would you go along into August 3rd? That's my question.
Right. And you're not the only one thinking that, plus all the people looking to secure profits and whatever.
Right. If I got massive rewards being unlocked, I'm selling that immediately.
Yeah, that makes sense for sure. Do you think, from an Ethereum perspective, we're seeing kind of just continuation in this DeFi narrative playing out?
I mean, I'm seeing more and more scams.
Yeah, like, it's getting saucy out there right now.
it's like the low-hanging fruit of the ICO scam market is like where DeFi started. That's what I feel like. Like, the stuff that's been brewing over the past week is kind of amazing. And like the Amples and the Tendies and the...
Yeah, I still don't know what a Tendy is, but I guess it's some kind of DeFi thing, supposedly.
Yeah, it's
other.
It's not for me.
Right. Other long in the tooth signs to me. If you look at what LTC BTC is doing, it made a nice bottom. We were bottom things on LTC BTC from a weekly perspective. We've been making fun of it for months while it's been basing, and it broke out this week. Of course, a lot of stuff has broken out, so, you know. But when LTC BTC is moving, it just means people are looking for where's the next big return. You got DeFi Pulse up again. That's been our buddy lately. What's the deal with that one?
More and more ETH just keeps getting locked. One thing I'll say about LTC BTC and all of these alt pairs, to me, they're just mean reversion plays, and they're not bullish trend plays, so I'm kind of not interested. LTC, EOS, I don't know, any of the other, most of the stuff that hasn't really done anything is just kind of sad. So it's just not for me. I just feel like the opportunity cost is too great to be out of BTC or out of ETH or out of Tezos even to like deal with hoping that it's an LTC bottom, you know?
Yeah. I tell you what, and it, I think it's a similar argument, but, and probably like a, you know, fool me once thing. Zcash, whew, relative to BTC, nice looking chart.
Yeah, somebody just brought that up to my attention earlier today. I didn't actually look at it.
Not a bad USD chart either, but the BTC one I like a lot. Like as a W bottom classic. Kind of Adam and Eve situation on the weekly. Looks like looks like it's breaking out on the daily right this moment. So it looks pretty good, man. But I'm not sure I can play that game. Is it a forever breakout on your downward pitchfork on there?
It's basically the most bullish it's been the past 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, it does look good. I'll give you that. I was talking to the Harmonic guy I know, Toru. Mm-hmm. That's like five people who know who this guy is. But I was asking about this weird Harmonic thing. I'm terrible with harmonics. He's like a harmonic god. I think I can actually pull up.
He's got a...
He sent me... No, that's not it. He sent me this one on ETHBTC. Harmonics are related to fibs if you have no idea what I'm talking about, but
they look like bat wings.
Bats, butterflies, crabs, whatever you want to call them. Yeah. All sorts of animals.
Animals with legs or wings.
The idea is that they'll help predict potential reversal zones once they're formed. So we're seeing a lot of this in all BTC pairs for the most part, including Zcash, including ETH. So I don't really know what to think of that, but you know, this trend on Zeke does look really good.
It does. You know, the one that is forever underperforming, but also like looks like maybe Zcash or Litecoin a week or two ago, it's Monero.
Yeah, man, I've been holding Monero since December, so yeah. I'm ready. I did sell, what did I sell? I sold Rep, I sold Doge, I sold something else. Oh, XLM.
I mean, I'm on a weekly chart here, and Monero has legit been consolidating in this range for a year now. I'm going back to August 2019 when it kind of broke down and established this current range. So,
yeah, the weird part about that one is it looks like it wanted to head and shoulders and then said no and
right.
Is ready for up. So it looks good.
Yeah. It's just you with these, it's really hard. Like all of a sudden it moves, you know, and you got to sit in it for a long time and wait, or you got to buy the breakout, like, which sounds easy, but you're buying something like this Litecoin candle, you know, like, after it has some kind of significant move, and you don't know if you're the sucker who buys it after its first 10%, looking for another 50 or 100 or whatever you're looking for, or you sit there and you have this opportunity cost. But yeah, some of the older coins do look a little better to me than they did, for sure.
Yeah, I had a few people message me about altcoin rotation into BTC, that sort of thing. I just think you have to use your gut and either bite the bullet and hold it or rotate and move on, you know? Like you can't second guess.
Yeah. I mean, and something can look good. I mean, you remember I was talking about how I missed Adam. Well, look at it got a huge retrace like right after I was talking about having missed out on it. And even then, the support that it should have held didn't hold whatsoever because it coincided with the day that Bitcoin went crazy. So it just lost like 15% in one day. And now it's retesting that 200-day moving average in a bearish sense. You know, it's like alts can get out from under you real quickly. So definitely have to be cautious with your position sizing and everything else. But there's a lot of good alts volatility and interesting stuff happening right now.
Especially anything on Binance, it can get crazy quickly.
Yeah. Well, Tendi's just listed on Poloniex.
That exchange shouldn't exist anymore, honestly. Like how it went from where it went to like the king of the hill to the garbage dump.
Justin Sun's garbage dump, though.
Yeah, it's just kind of sad, you know. I have nostalgia for that place, certainly.
Yeah.
It was one of the few that didn't explode. They've had their fair share of scammy stuff go on there, but...
Yeah. And some round-trip acquisitions, but it's still there. Hey, we probably gave up on Ethereum a little too quick, but, you know, its high of 2019 was 365, but its weekly close high we've already passed. At 335 or so. So it looks like we're going to get, you know, a new weekly high. I'm sorry, it was even lower than that. 306. But the wick, we're right around where the wick. So we're definitely going to, unless something crashes, going to get a weekly close high on Ethereum, multi-year. But it's only really 2 weeks out of a big breakout. Do you think we could get another week of this and be in 400 something territory Ethereum like next week? Is it that bullish?
I mean, it feels like it. The on-chain activity is certainly bullish.
The narrative's there for it right now.
The market is very accepting of promises made, but not promises kept. As far as ETH phase 2.0, zero, whatever, ETH phase 0.2.0.
I've got this line on my chart at 456 that I feel like if we had another, like a third crazy week in a row, I feel like 450-ish could be where a legitimately achievable target, which sounds crazy when it bottomed under 100, you know, in the March mayhem.
Yeah, so the weekly cloud's at 460, the yearly pivot's at 470, the cup and handle measured move target's at 387. There's a decent VPVR notch at 460 as well. So
yeah, I like those little volume profile ledges, notch. Ledges,
yeah, resistance levels. So yeah, I think 460 is definitely possible.
I think that would really be interesting to the broader market. Like, I think that also coincides with a clean Bitcoin breakup from 11.5. It's hard for me to imagine Ethereum going another $100 without Bitcoin making a new high.
Yeah, it'll probably lag though. Regardless, it has been. Well, we talked about this for a couple of weeks, that ETH will pull up BTC kicking and screaming, and that's what happened.
Yeah, well, you were on that one. I was a little skeptical thinking that, you know, Ethereum could drag Bitcoin, but it's certainly been that way. Like, Bitcoin's been the slower mover and oftentimes the second mover. Like, you know, Ethereum would go, watching low time frames, like Ethereum would go and then Bitcoin would kind of follow. And then if Bitcoin got excited, then Ethereum might cool down a little bit, but, you know, in a bullish consolidation. And then as Bitcoin settles down, Ethereum goes again. Very clear, low time frame leading.
Yeah, yeah. It just feels like the momentum is so much stronger for ETH right now.
Yeah. But based on, also this the forever diagonal breakout, by the way, on Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's true too.
Did Ethereum, does it have some kind of forever diagonal like that?
I mean, it's got a, if I can find
it,
the right.
It had already broken it, like back it.
There's like this curve.
Yeah.
That you can draw.
Certainly not like this clean pennant thing that we've got on Bitcoin though, where I think what I've found is like the this Bitcoin pennant started making some noise in like the legacy landscape, macro people pointing at it like, yeah, Bitcoin's going to 33,000 now.
Which is weird because I don't see that pennant as like a real thing. You know, yeah, do
like,
you?
Not really. Like, I don't look at it and think like, oh yeah, we're going to get the measured move off this gigantic forever pennant. Like, sure, I think breaking that diagonal is bullish.
Right.
I like breaking 11.5 and the weekly horizontal high more. Like, I've got them both on this chart right here. We're right in between the two. I could see us dancing around for a while if we get rejected by our bear whale, for instance. So it could take a while, but to me, the amount of space between 11.5, clearing 11.5, and all-time highs is just a big air gap. So it'll look like it matters, even if it doesn't, you know?
Yeah, if you look at volume past 11.5, historically, there's nothing. If you look at time spent, there's no time spent, really. Past 11.5.
Yeah, we had only, we didn't even talk about monthly, but, you know, we just had a monthly close. New high monthly close. Previous was 11.4. The only monthly close we have above that was 2017 at 13.7. So, you know, you think about 19K Bitcoin. Well, the monthly close was at 13.7. So this is, we're in serious territory from a Bitcoin price perspective. Like, we're closer to a potential all-time high than I think most people will want to warrant.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's crazy, but here we are. And gold is pushing all-time highs too, so.
Yeah, I mean the burr continues. I think there was news just today talking about $1,000 per adult and child in the U.S. as a secondary, whatever, secondary stimulus. Yeah, Bitcoin or gold almost hit $2,000 an ounce today, 1976. I mean, that looks like a blow off top on gold until it's not. Until it's like, then it goes to 22 or 2300 and the next week, you know, it's got that kind of potential right now.
Yeah, it looks good.
Gold, yeah, gold definitely has that 10% in a week type of setup. Silver, the silver monthly close.
Yeah, all the metals just look bonkers.
It's crazy. Like this, we've talked about this for weeks in a row. So sorry to our listeners, but I can't look at these and not be bullish Bitcoin. Like, enormously omega bullish Bitcoin. I don't care what the correlations are, just from the, you know, the financial principles or whatever. It's just like, it's a close enough corollary that how can you not look at Bitcoin and think that the thing that has spurred these metals into massive action is going to be bullish for Bitcoin. Also, the horizontal test on silver is like glorious to the, just to the underside of its forever consolidation from 2011, right there at 26. It was a crazy move. Anyway, so yes, macro narrative. Do you think I'm just trying to feed my own Bitcoin bullishness by saying that, or do you agree or what?
No, I agree with you. I mean, I'm not like euphoric at all that we're going to probably go past 13. I'm more in disbelief still, because like we were just at 4 in March 12th, right?
Yeah. I think my thing is if you want to be in disbelief, don't be so much in disbelief that you're going to want to short it into the ground, you know?
Well, no.
Like,
yeah.
The narrative is not there to short it into the ground in my mind.
Yeah, you don't want to get in front of the freight train.
Right, and it's got freight train potential at the moment.
Because there inevitably will be people who, every time, they miss the first move, so they tell themselves, okay, I'm a trader, I got to be trading. I got to short this because it can't keep going.
It couldn't possibly keep going.
And then it keeps going. They get margin called, they close, whatever. And it just fuels it higher. And that's the cycle of trading.
Right over there. And over again.
I was just looking at active addresses for BTC are above 1 million for really the second time ever.
Yeah.
So if anything,
that surpasses summer 2019 levels, it's approaching 2017 highs.
If anything, there's a divergence. There's a bullish divergence here based on price. Like, you'd expect price to react to this. And we can pull up ETH as well.
I think we've got some bear whales in this ecosystem preventing Bitcoin from moving faster than it is already.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, the slower this goes, the better in the long term. But ETH as well is active addresses above 500K for the second time ever, really.
Yeah, I mean, Ethereum, holy crap, that network is a mess right now.
Look at Ethereum's transaction count. It's almost at an all-time high.
But people are trading on Uniswap like crazy right now. And I made 2 Uniswap transactions today. And
so you're part of the problem, is what you're saying.
Yeah, but it was like $12 to send an Ethereum transaction. So, I mean, that network is running wild, no scaling plan, but all the Ethereum killers are wide open. Plenty of space for running a Uniswap. or whatever else.
The funny part is sending ETH like between addresses isn't that expensive, but like interacting with the smart contracts is insanely expensive.
Yeah, what's the technical justification for that?
I don't know. It's some protocol thing, you know.
It's just more expensive to interact with a contract,
I'd assume.
Because when people were talking about how expensive it was to do stuff on Ethereum, I didn't understand why, but it was purely because the only thing I had done is move Ethereum around. So today was the first time where I was interacting with something, and I was interacting with one of these DEX interfaces that like sends it off and swaps it in 3 different places and plops it back on you, and it's this complicated chain of crap going on, and it was very expensive to do that. So I'm not sure why this is a better way to trade. If it cost me $12 to trade, you know, like, it seems crazy.
It's a terrible way to trade. And that's why there are a lot of people who are super bullish on DEXs. And I remind them that this is what we get. You know, we have problems with scalability, problems with liquidity, problems with front running, problems with security, problems with fees, like
all these issues. You're currently describing everything wrong with Uniswap based on like my half day of research on it.
So that's not saying that it can't one day be great. It's just saying that right now, it's not a great place to do things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you've experienced that. I've experienced that with TokenSet, where the fees are $70 to $90 to rebalance.
So you have to be sending a decent amount of money to even want to do that.
Right, and TokenSet's actually eating the transaction costs, for the indefinite future. I don't know how long that's going to last. It's obviously not super sustainable either, but. You know, because if they're not eating the transaction costs for the set creators, then no one's wanting to do anything with token set, really, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, that's $70 or $80 is not, it's not solving the problem of putting a portfolio construction together when you can go on a centralized exchange and do the same thing for not very much money.
Right, and the custody part is great. It's great that you can just add money to a portfolio and not actually give custody to the custodian, right? Like you mm-hmm. still control everything. Same thing with Uniswap, right? It's, I assume it's this way. You still control everything, but it's
unless just, you send your money to a smart contract that can take over control of everything,
right? a backdoor key,
yeah,
like Twitter, an admin panel,
which apparently there is absolutely. I mean, it's the Wild West on Uniswap right now. So I know a lot of people are seeing stuff about, you know, people making 100x or 200x or whatever on Uniswap. I guarantee you, snagging those requires a lot of work and a lot of risk. And usually if you're seeing someone actually accomplish that, they're not doing it with a ton of size. It's possible, but it's not easy. So
it's just amazing to, we went from yield farming to minting, pre-mining
ERC-20 tokens.
Yeah, again, like we've already done this, people. This is ICOs for the 15th time.
It's the exact same. I mean, it is absolutely no different than Ether Delta or whatever.
Yeah, so I don't understand. Like,
they're just not calling it an ICO. They're just saying it's a liquidity pool, so you can come buy them. But that's the same thing as an ICO.
It's just, it's not for me.
Yeah.
So I wish everyone luck.
People are having fun, and I didn't realize because I wasn't paying close attention to Twitter, but I didn't realize how much attention some of them were getting.
What, like the coins or the DEXs?
Yeah, like Tendies and whatever. I can't remember what all people were talking, going wild about, but
yeah,
several of them that Zamp is like an anti Ample amp. Oh, the Ample fourth one. Oh my gosh, have you seen that chart?
I have. It's quite something.
Yeah, and this is one that has a real listing.
Guess who was selling at the top?
VCs.
Let's take a guess. Well, no, the team was selling at the top.
Oh yeah. Well,
it's the classic. They knew exactly where the top was. No. They created the top.
They were the top.
They knew because they were the volume at the top. It's just silly.
I don't know what, if I'm looking at the right chart, but I'm going to try to find the Ample fourth chart. It's amazing. It's like a little pump when it comes on, and then like, and just an enormous dump. And then guess who said they were going to come out with Ample support?
Coinbase. Yeah.
Coinbase.
That's why I had to make that meme today. It's like Coinbase is just looking for people to spend money on their exchange for fees at this point. I don't think they care about anything, honestly.
Yeah. This is the other thing that I guess is the part of the template right now, is send your coin, your VC coin, to KuCoin for your initial markup period. So I've got a chart pulled up on a BTC basis. It listed somewhere in here, July 23rd or so, did a little pump, and then like days of just death. And then today, Coinbase announcement. Like, it's just perfect.
It's actually a great example of a diamond top.
Or something.
And all of July.
It's hideous.
It's perfect. As far as a reversal.
But now it's on the Bitcoin, or not the Bitcoin. Now it's on the Coinbase speculation train. So it'll probably bottom here. Like, some of these VCs are probably refilling now into the capitulation by all these retail people here. And now they'll pump it up again, and then when Coinbase lists it, they'll be like, oh great, we can now dump on Coinbase.
Yeah, it's the cycle continues, right? The
cycle continues, and it's the same freaking thing as always.
But there's still tradable technicals on here. You know, like there's an Adam and Eve at the bottom of this. Really nice one.
Yeah.
Between May and June.
And also people just don't care. Like,
no,
as long as you're not the one holding the hot potato when the music stops, then you don't care. And that's whether you're a retail trader, that's whether you're a whatever, like big firm trader or a venture capitalist. It doesn't matter. Everybody Everybody is abiding by the fact that everything's a hot potato. That's across all markets. Like, that's not even just crypto. If anything, crypto is kind of late to the game.
Yeah, it's funny to see Amazon and other NASDAQ components continuing to push all-time highs.
Dude, Overstock went from $2.50 in March to $77. That's better. Overstock had better returns in 2020 than Bitcoin had in 2017. Overstock.com.
Is it a e-commerce thing?
I don't know, man. I thought they were a blockchain company now.
I don't know. ETH 356.
I know, I'm watching going. I got it pulled up on a 1 hour chart right now. And just
BTC new local on Bifinex here.
Yeah, we might have to end the podcast just so that you and I can talk about price action, which I guess this podcast is about, but it seems like it'd be boring if we were doing it live and everybody's listening and they're like, well, that was yesterday.
It's true. But I mean, look, we talked about this for weeks. It was either 7 or 13.
Yeah.
You can live through it and watch it happen, but
we're just a bear whale away from the ultimate targets here.
Yeah.
We did get through the levels pretty quickly so far. I mean, it was really everything you could ask for. This daily sums it up nicely in my mind, at least, where, you know, you get the pennant breakout and then you curl up. You got plenty of time to get long in that if you're not in disbelief. But then when it broke the weekly level, it was like, bam, you're done. You're in profit. Now you just chill. Now where it's like, okay, we're right up against the next weekly level. So the question here is, do we stay or do we go? And if we go, bam, what's the next level? Like, this is nice. This is nice.
Nothing feels good. Right?
It feels good. This is classic, like, technical trading levels. The next daily high would be 12.9, a.k.a. your 13K. So if we clear this 11.5, going to 13K. I think we're going to 13K anyway, but we might take a dip if Bearwell succeeds. But as we're feeding this guy or gal, whoever this is. They're going to get their fills pretty soon, it looks like.
Yeah, I agree. We're biting into it now on Bifinex.
Yeah, I mean, right this moment, we're biting into the soft layers underneath the final.
Chewy caramel layer.
Trying to get to that sweet core there, which at that point is only, what, $10 million or something?
Yeah, it's only $10 million, right?
I mean, that's a lot of money to me and you, but it's not a ton of money if the rest of the market just decides to go for it and then suddenly Bitfinex is lagging $20 or $30. Well, then one market maker is happy to chomp it up and distribute it out on other exchanges. Like, that's how that stuff can get eaten.
Yeah, I agree. It just gets arbed away.
Yeah. You don't have to have someone sitting there staring at it and deciding to take one for the team.
Right, of course. I agree. That's typically what's going to happen. It's, futures or something is going to go wild and then spot's going to move.
Yeah.
And then it's going to get arbed between everything.
I hedged my Ethereum position a little bit before we got on the call and I feel like I need to unhedge it here if we're going to bust up. I'm already down $2.
Wow.
$2 per Ethereum. I think it was, I hedged 353. Let's see, Ethereum's 356, but I don't know what to expect, man. I think Bitcoin wants to go for it tonight. It's got one of those vibes going on right now where it's like everybody just wakes up and it's 12K something now.
There's oddly a lot of activity here again for this time of day on a Friday.
Friday.
So after weekend, midnight.
The middle of the night on a Friday. Sure, why not?
So Tether's still surging above a dollar.
Which
last time it did that, we were mega bullish. So
maintain kind of justifications for pumping it.
Right. Like, logically, it doesn't make sense because if Tether's above a dollar, BTC should be below. It should be bearish because people are rotating into Tether, but I just think it shows demand for Tether, which is demand for crypto buying potential.
And I think Tether too is playing a role with all the DeFi stuff.
Right. For like ERC-20.
Yeah, Tether. It's one of the collateral options for several DeFi things, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So people need Tether to get in. If you're taking a loan out too, you might want Tether as your collateral so that then you can borrow and then use what you borrow to go buy crypto with. But your Tether is more stable if there's a price crash or something.
And you could use USDC, you can use DAI. I feel like the East, China, and Asia prefers Tether over USDC because it's less regulated. But maybe that's just a speculation on my part. But
yeah.
Because I feel like I see a ton of transfers to Binance, Huobi, from Bitfinex for Tether. Like Bitfinex is basically just a Tether printing machine at this point. Like the exchange side is so diminutive compared to what it used to be.
Right. It's Tether company. The company of Tethers. Not the worst business in the world, so good for them. All right. Less than 48 hours away, do you think we make a new weekly high above 11.5?
Or it's do you think we're due for
a retrace?
It's also a monthly open.
Yeah. A new monthly open to pump.
I mean, BTC looks fine for more up. It's ETH I'm concerned with, but ETH doesn't really care.
Yeah, I think as long as BTC goes, ETH will go. I joked on Twitter about longing your longs, but like for real, like I feel like being blindly bullish right now is not the worst thing in the world.
Just yeah, but without it's also knowledge. It's also a marathon, not a sprint. So you got to be careful not to, you know, you don't want to be a late longer and then on high leverage get all your position blown out early versus just holding something, right? Like
yeah.
You might as well just hold a low leverage position and let it go. You know, that's what I've been doing.
Low leverage or no leverage. And even if you miss a huge surge, eventually there'll be a dip that's worth buying.
Exactly.
Like looking at this Ethereum USD daily is hard to convince yourself to go long now.
I agree.
There's been one down day.
Yeah. What's the TD9 look like? It's a indicator I haven't looked at in forever.
Yeah, I don't know, but
it's got to be getting there.
It's grooving right now.
Yeah, it really is. One last thing I'll talk about is this Bitfinex longs on ETH. Oh,
gosh. 656 million?
Million, yeah.
Wow.
And that's definitely the biggest market on Bitfinex right now. I'm pretty sure. I'd have to look at the BTC side, but I'm almost positive.
Yeah. I think I'm going to take some profit after we get off this call. Not just because of that, but just the trajectory here. Like, I'm still quite, I'd say I'm quite long. I'm mildly hedged, but at this very moment, but on the whole, I'm quite long, and I need to probably secure the bag in some capacity.
Profit's profit, as I usually say.
Profit's profit. And it looks...
Bitfinex is just creeping. It is creeping.
I mean, GDAX is like gapping up on the 5-minute. Because there's probably nobody trading it. So it's just somebody arbing it in. I don't know where the action's happening, but...
Probably BitMEX. I don't really pay attention to BitMEX anymore, but...
I don't either. Fall from grace for them, but... yeah, so, I mean, I guess in summary...
We're bullish. Yeah.
We're bullish, and we're watching sell walls because we want to see Bear Whale get taken down. Very 2017 things right now.
Yeah, it really is.
We're just basking in bullish price action and... waiting for somebody to second guess their sales.
Well, the weird thing about these ETH longs is it's like they've been long for a while, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, they went parabolic with the March dump, and they've been in profit the whole time. When did they start taking profit?
Exactly. I don't know. Like, if it were me, I'd be thinking, eh.
Yeah,
let's take some off here, right?
Other than the fact that Ethereum's currently about to blast into a multi-year high. Is that when the permabull takes profit? Is right when you hit a multi-year high?
I mean, you don't want to close everything, obviously, but you want to rotate into, you want to secure the bag, as they say. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Figuring out where to take profit. That's the game right now. And then shitcoin hot potato definitely happening at the moment.
Yep. And we might be seeing this ETH, like people rotating their altcoins into ETH, their profits, you know, that might be a part of this as well.
Yeah, I imagine it's at least some part of it. And then, I mean, you have to provide liquidity on some of these, on these pools. Like, if you're going to list one of these scammy altcoins, or, well, not scam, just scammy, but, like, if you're going to do something on Uniswap, I think what it is you have to put, like, 1,000 of your tokens over here and one ETH on the other side as the liquidity for it. So there has to be enough Ethereum locked into the pool to essentially provide an equivalent of what a book would look like, you know?
Sure, yeah.
So those liquidity pools are just Ethereum sitting on that network that's getting, I mean, there's tens of millions of dollars on some of these coins that you've never heard of in your life, and and daily volume and corresponding Ethereum providing liquidity there. So I definitely would not belittle the impact of that. And we're going to see a lot more of them over the next couple of weeks based on what we've been seeing.
I think the impact is high. I think the lasting potential is zero. You know, like, yeah, that's not going to last forever.
Well, maybe not every little scam, but I think we'll see people start to take some of these more serious DeFi protocols. Like, they'll continue to, you know, consider those legitimate, and people will go look for yield, and there'll be like conversations about, man, I earned 35% a year on this, and plus my Ethereum doubled in price, and, you know, that's the hype train that works.
Everybody's getting rich when you're not.
We're nowhere close to that yet, in my opinion.
I agree.
That's what I think is so fascinating about the whole thing, because we're clearing multi-year highs, but that's a breakout. It's not a top.
Yep. I agree. That's all I got for this one.
Me too. We'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Check out Josh's new YouTube. What did you call it at the beginning of the show? Something about spicy.
Banging. So, hello, how do you do, fellow kids?
Oh, that's the wrong music. Different podcast.
Slang is.
Yeah. What's that? There's like a shrimp, right? Like a type of shrimp.
Sure, yeah. It's a shrimp.
Like rocket, rocket shrimp, or it's like one of those chains. Doesn't matter. Go play altcoin hot potato, everybody. Have a good day.